Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. And now here with music on record is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Eddie Joyce. Good morning, everyone. I hope you're just as happy as we are here in the city of Chicago, where the sun came up bright and beautiful on a real clear, crisp September day. It's going to get warm here in the Middle West this afternoon. And if you're out there on the west coast of California, I hope the heat wave is broken, the smog is gone forever. And if you're on the east coast, I hope you're making $1 million on Wall Street. We're right in the heart of the nation, of course, and we're going to speak to the heart of the music business in just a very few minutes, and I'll tell you more about that later. But of course, it's all brought to you every day of the week at your favorite CBS dial setting by Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum, the nicest bunch of people that I think anyone has ever had the pleasure to work for. Now, I've only been working for them for the last, 8 or 9 weeks that we've been on this show, but I can assure you that I've been enjoying their product for years and years and years, just like you. Because the word Wrigley, of course, is as much a part of the household almost as the word mother, father, husband, or wife. Because, you see, they're all equally good. Wholesome, delicious, and refreshing. That's Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum, and if you haven't tried it yet, and that seems almost inconceivable, I hope that you will just in real apple pie order. You try it because it's just as good as apple pie that Mama makes from her own warm ovens. You make certain that you get the finest product in all the world, Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Remember, it is delicious. We hope you try it. Well, we're going to deviate from our usual custom of opening our show by playing a record because I think it's far more important that we have an opportunity of introducing our guest today. He's one of the outstanding music men in the nation. He serves as a professional manager for one of the nation's largest song publishers, Shapiro Bernstein, the great firm in New York City on Tin Pan Alley. And we're in the offices of Al Gallico, and I think that Al is probably hearing all the things we're saying about Wrigley chewing gum and maybe smacking with delight himself. Are you, Al?
That's right, Howard. It's pretty good gum, too.
Al, I don't mean to force you into a commercial message, but let's talk music. Now, all right. Al, first of all, what is a professional manager of a music publishing firm?
Well, we're supposed to listen to songs, and if we like them, we publish them. And take them around to the record companies, see if we can get records. If we can't get a record through the record company, we go direct to the artist.
Uh-huh. Now, in your capacity, then, as professional manager for Shapiro Bernstein, that's your job.
That's right.
Now, what are some of the songs, for instance, the biggest songs that you had last year published in your firm?
Melody of Love, The Papa Loves Mambo, Oh My Papa.
I'd say you had a pretty good year.
Yeah, pretty good.
How many hits do you think constitutes a good year, so-called hits?
Well, it's hard to say, Howard. It all depends on...
The size of the hit.
The size of the hit, the size of the organization, you know, the overhead and stuff.
Yes.
That's very hard to
say. Al, there's one question I'm sure that I'm reflecting the main question on most of the minds of the American public when I ask you. Why is it that certain songs get revived? What is the stimulant behind a revival song? Because we've had so many of those in the last half a dozen years.
Well, that's right, Howard. We had a good revival a year ago, a song called Chapel in the Moonlight.
Yes.
Song is was about 18 years old, and we figured it's a new generation now, and they don't know the song, and to them it's a fresh song. And if it was a hit 18 years ago, it could be, chances are, it could be a hit all over again.
Well, wasn't Melody of Love the same sort of thing? Wayne King, of course, did that ever so long ago.
That's right.
And then, of course, it was revived with Billy Vaughn last year and everybody else's cover of Billy Vaughn's, and, of course, it became a hit all over again.
That's right.
Well, then, I suppose that another one of your collateral duties is to keep... up with what your catalog consists of and maybe run through some of the melodies of 15, 20 years ago every year or so.
That's true. We all do that quite often here. We go through some of the songs in the catalog, and if we think they're about ready for a revival, why, we try to get a record.
Yes. Now, the other reason, of course, for reviving a song would be that perhaps the movie industry or a television show is going to use it, and that will give it an extra stimulant, and then, of course, you'll get on it and make it one of your plug efforts.
That's true.
Now, how many songs in the course of a year does you, as an average publisher, publish, Al?
Oh, I don't know. I would say we must have published maybe 30, 40 songs last year, you know.
Now, out of those 30 or 40, were all of them eventually given to record people and recorded?
No.
Let's supposing that I write a song and I give it to you, Al, and you say, yes, we'll publish it. And then you take it around to the record companies and everyone says, no, we don't like it. We don't want to record it. What happens to my song? You don't work on it then. You don't publish it. Is that it?
That's true. Well, we publish it. See, but we may come back with the song 3 months from now, 6 months from now, try it with someone else. See? We may get an idea on the timing. The timing is very important, Howard.
You will go through the mechanics of publishing, but actually you won't do anything. You won't spend money or you won't release it in sheet form or so forth.
Sometimes we do.
Yes.
Print it.
I know, of course, some of the answers of the question I'm next going to ask you, but I think it would be awfully interesting to the American public. When a song is published and then an artist does it, what sort of royalties does the writer get from the publisher? How is it based? How much does he get for each record that's sold of a song, and how much for each piece of sheet music?
Well, there's a standard contract, which is with SPA. If they're an SPA writer, they have a set figure, see?
Now, what is an SPA writer?
Songwriters Protective Association. They belong to that organization.
Uh-huh. All right, now, if they belong to it, what do they get then for their effort?
Well, they get as a minimum of 4 cents a copy.
Of the sheet music?
Yeah, and 50% of the mechanical money.
Now, what do you mean 50% of what mechanical money? A record costs a dollar. They don't get 50 cents for it.
No, 50% of what we collect. We collect two cents for
of what
each
you
recording.
Collect. You collect how much?
Two cents.
2 cents.
Yeah.
So if I write a song and you publish it, you get 2 cents for each record that's sold of it.
That's
and you
right.
turn around and give me 1 cent of it.
That's true.
So that a person who writes a big song, a tremendous hit, that sells, we'll say, 1 million records, and how many sheet musics would be a fair seller, a good seller?
Oh, in today's market, a quarter of a million.
So that means that a writer could make a substantial year's income from just the effort of one song, couldn't he?
That's true.
$8,000, $10,000, $12,000.
Yes, surely.
All right, now, I suppose that your firm, like most other firms, are always looking for music. What's the best way for the average American to get a song published, Al?
Well, he's got to make the rounds of the publishers, Howard. I know it's pretty rough, but... We listen to anyone that walks in our office. Why, we'll always listen to them. Someone will listen to their songs.
Yes, well, now your office, of course, is in New York, and a lot of people live east of the Hudson River that write songs.
Yeah.
What do those people do?
Well, they usually mail the manuscript in with a demonstration record or just a manuscript.
I see.
As a rule, we don't like to accept mail.
No, because there are certain legal restrictions
right.
that I know that you have to operate under, so
that's
it actually
right.
is a hardship. Well,
right.
Now, do most publishers in New York, most big publishers like yourself, have field offices in Chicago or Los Angeles or Philadelphia and other cities?
I would say all the large publishers have, Howard.
Uh-huh. You know, I've got some very good news for you. I don't know if you know it or not. I'm sure that you knew that it was going to happen, but Patty Page has been here at the Chicago Theater for the past couple of weeks, done a wonderful job over there. And as you know, she's always been one of our favorite gal singers. I know she has been a favorite plug artist for a song publisher like yourself.
Oh, she's very
great gal.
Very
well, now,
wonderful.
Patty took one of your songs into Bill Putnam's recording studio last night and worked until 5 o'clock this morning, believe it or not, and she's got 5 more shows to perform today. And we were fortunate enough to be there as part of the session. We saw a portion of it. And we came away from that session with 2 different versions of the same song that you people are going to publish, a song called Croce d'Oro. D'Oro, is that right?
Yeah,
is that
Croce d'Oro.
Croce d'Oro.
Which means a gold cross.
The gold cross. Now, I understand that when the record is put out by Mercury, that it will come out as the gold cross or the cross of gold rather than the Spanish title, won't it?
No, it will be. As far as I know, we want it to be Croce d'Oro, and then in brackets, Gold Cross.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, now, Patty did 2 different versions of the song. One she does in multiple voice, and one she does in single voice. And because Mr. Art Talmage, who is the head of Mercury Record Company, was nice enough to allow us to do this, we brought these copies with us, and we're going to play for you, and you're hearing it for the very first time, along with the nation, 2 versions of the same song that's going to come out in the next few days by Patty Page. And I'm just wondering which one is going to be the acceptable version at the part of the upper brass of Mercury and the one that the record-buying public will have the privilege of listening to in their favorite disc jockey programs. So let's play a chorus of each version of it, Al.
Oh, that's
and,
wonderful.
And after we do, I'm going to ask you which version you like the best, and I'll tell you which one I like the best.
Wonderful.
It's never been played for the American public before, a Shapiro Bernstein tune known as Croce d'Oro, Patty Page.
You'll be gone when the dawn comes tomorrow. You'll be far, far away out at sea. So I give you this croce d'oro. It will bring you home safely to me. Every hour we're apart will be sorrow. In the chapel, a candle will burn. Take my love and this crochet di oro. I will pray for you till you return.
Well, now, that's one side of the two-sided record that we have. That is the single-voice recording. It's a beautiful, beautiful song, Al. It's the first time I've had a chance to listen to it, too.
I think it's a great song, Howard, really.
It's
got to be a real big one.
I'm sure so. It is done so delightfully well by her. And, of course, it has a lot of the flavor of Via Con Dios, which was such a tremendous thing for Les and Mary last year.
That's true.
Well, now we've flipped it over. And we're going to play the same song, your song, Croce di Ora, done by Patti Page in multiple voice. And then we'll decide which one we like the best, huh?
Fine.
Here we go.
You'll be gone when the dawn comes tomorrow. You'll be far, far away. Out at sea. So I give you this croce di oro. It will bring you home safely to me. Every hour we're apart will be sorrow. In the chapel, a candle will burn. Take my love and this croce di oro. I will pray for you till you return.
Well, there's both versions of the song, Al. Gee, I gotta say again, I think you've got a positive smash in your house there.
Thank you, Howard. I agree with you, and I happen to like the double track there.
The multiple voice, the second one we played?
Yes,
I do, too. I noticed that there is one thing in there that I didn't notice in the first version. I'm going to have to do a little studying on it, but doesn't she do a modulation, a key change there in the multiple voice that she didn't do in the single voice?
That's true. She does.
I think it's very effective. I think it gives a brightness to a song that I think needs a little bit of brightness.
Right.
Because it is a very slow ballad. But, gee, I'm so happy that Patti is back on winning form. Not that she's ever been too far away from us, because
right.
She's always been the queen of all the singers, hasn't she?
Oh, I think she's just the greatest.
She certainly is. I think that Mr. Talmadge probably will have a tough decision to make, but rather interesting. We have Mr. Mike Shawn here, who is with our advertising agency, Meyerhoff, in Chicago, and Speedy Hallett, our engineer, and Lou Weir, Doug McKay, and old Eddie Joyce, our friendly Wrigley announcer, and all of us are in concurrence, all six of us, that the multiple voice is the best. And now with your vote of 7-0, Mr. Talmadge has a lot of ballot stuffing to do to catch up.
Wonderful.
Al, I certainly appreciate your being here. Thank you very much for telling us about the music business.
Thank you, Howard. I'm glad you had me. It was real wonderful.
Give my best regards to all the gentlemen you're associated with and all of Tin Pan Alley, will you?
Oh, that's swell. Thank you, Howard.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Well, we think we've had a real scoop for you this morning. You've heard for the very first time, before even Patti has had an opportunity of listening to it, believe me, because she hasn't heard the finished product, her great new song, Croce di Oro, which will come out on Mercury Record in the next week. This is Howard Miller for Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye for now.
You've just heard The Howard Miller Show, with music on records brought to you from Chicago by Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Be sure and join Howard Miller tomorrow at this same time when his guest will be Laverne Baker. This is the CBS Radio Network.